Welcome to the Media Ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Woodrow.
Hope everybody's doing well. I hope you're here, gang, and growing in your hunger to receive from the Lord. This isn't just about coming to hear a message or to get more information about God. It is to receive very personally from God. And that's what he promises when his people gather together. His presence is among us. And that he wants to speak very personally right into our lives, right deep into our souls. And the amazing thing is that there's no limit. The only limit of what can happen when God's people gather together is the limit we put on it. It is our faith we bring into it, is what the scripture says. And we have an awesome God, folks, who loves us more than we could ever imagine. Do you know that? We need to be told that every day. God loves you more than you could ever, ever imagine. He created you and uniquely you in all the universe because he wants a relationship with you. He sent his son to die for you. You know what? To make this vessel a place of communion, that his spirit would come and have communion, fellowship with you. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. When the joy of the Lord takes over in a person's soul, man, the freedom. Do you know something of that freedom? Jesus came to set the captives free. Oh, there's a physical element to that, but more than anything, to set the soul free so that we could be people who live. I mean, our normative emotional state is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. I'll go on. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Wow. I like to call it traveling light. Jesus says, my burden is easy. But most of us, doesn't take long throughout our week to just get burdened, doesn't it? And so we gather. God commands us to gather together as his children and to come and to let the word of God, like a seed set inside our soul, set inside our heart, right, to birth this new life that he promises, this radical transformation, supernatural transformation inside our lives. So we're going to dive in this morning to Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bible, it'll be on the screen. Just encourage you to bring your Bible. We're going to look at verses 17 through chapter 4, verse 17 through chapter 5, verse 1 this morning. We're closing out our series that we've been in this spring, G3 Culture, the building blocks of who we are. We've been talking about the three G's, grace, growth, and greater things. That's what we're all about here at Crossroads. And we've been asking God to show us how, that's what we're pursuing, is a kind of culture, a community here that those three things define. Who doesn't want the grace of God? Who doesn't want to grow and transform into fully who we are? And who doesn't want greater things? The things of God, the things that you can't even imagine for your life. Remember Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who's able to do exceeding and far abundant, far beyond what we could even ask or even imagine, to him who is able, right, to do that, right, through the power of the Spirit that is in us. That's what he wants to do. And so we're closing it out. We're talking this morning about a culture of health. What does a healthy culture look like? And I'm going to speak broadly, obviously, that we want to be a healthy church culture. And that's what we've been looking at here with the three G's in this series. But don't we want a healthy home culture? I mean, don't we want a healthy culture at our workplace? What about our national culture? not too healthy right now, is it? Even the Ideas Festival, talking about, is the day of civil discourse gone? And I don't know. I think Derek brought the important issue up that really the question should be, why? What's the root? Why is it? Why are we having the problems we're having today? That's the bigger question, right? So I want to talk about healthy culture, and then just give you two things before we dive in here into the scripture about how do we cultivate this healthy culture and what God has done for that. But there can be no healthy relationship, marriage, home, church, culture without two questions being answered, being understood. First is to know the truth about us. What's the truth about me? So if you don't know the truth about you, who you are, why you're here, if you don't know the truth about your soul, your makeup, your personality, your emotions, who are you? Why are you here? Who put you here? What's your purpose? Without that, it's impossible. We just gather together as a bunch of confused people just grappling for purpose in life and trying to get what we can get in life. Sound familiar? Without having a clear understanding of the truth about who you are, possible to have healthy culture. Impossible to have healthy relationship. How can we expect two people to come together in healthy relationship if they're not secure in the truth about who they are? What's going on the inside? Is this a healthy soul? Am I a healthy person? The second big question to that, we can't answer that without understanding the truth about who God is. Who's God? If we're not secure about that question, it is impossible to have healthy culture. Oh, we can start grappling for certain moral rights, certain laws. We can put certain things together. We can, you know, do a little bit, but impossible, right? Without clarity on the truth about who God is. Who is he? What has he done for us? Those two go hand in hand, right? And folks, God has answered this in the gospel. And he has made it very clear from the beginning to the end of the Bible is that we're going to get nowhere until we come to this kind of harsh reality of the truth about ourselves is, and I'm going to use this word, we're sinners. We're messed up. We're prone to wander. We come into this world selfish, full of fleshly desires. We want what's best for ourselves. There's this power, Paul talks about this principle that's at work in all of us, right? That is, Scripture calls it a principle of sin. So what happens when we take the gift of free will and we start flexing it outside of God's will? Does that make sense? Beautiful blessing of free will. He created us in his image. He didn't want robots. He wanted a real relationship. But with that came a risk. Are we going to choose him or not? And to not choose him, well, there's the course of evil, suffering, and all bad things in the world. And so without really getting a hold of that, if we buy, I just say this, I don't have time to get into it, but if I buy the modern, postmodern idea that, man, we are inherently good, then we have to take that down the line of, okay, if that's how I see myself, then there is no real need for God. There is no real need to deal with this tendency of me being selfish. It's not until the Bible says that we come and it's blessed are the poor in spirit. I need you, God. The only way I'm going to be fully who you created me to be is if, man, you take this burden of sin, shame, and guilt and remove this condemnation. Right? Weird things going on here this morning, folks. Sorry. And that's a battle, isn't it, in our culture? is at every turn, right, we say, oh, it's so judgmental to say that we're sinners. And, you know, the reality is we know we're sinners. Every one of us. Doesn't matter who we are, that we know. No matter how hard we fight it, no matter how atheistic or intellectual we get, we know we're sinners. I mean, we know it, right? The question is, what are we going to do with that? And try to fix it, suck it up, I can do it. Or we run to a God who has done something about it. A God who loves us even in the midst of our mess. And who sent his son to cover all that. And man, I don't have to buy religion, works, do anything about that. Receive it freely. And then the Spirit of God comes in and starts working and doing amazing things. There's no better news in all the world than that. It's called the gospel. The evangelion in the Greek, it means good news. There's no better news in all the universe. The gospel answers very clearly who God is, the truth about God, and the truth about who we are, and the truth about what God wants to do in us and through us for all eternity. A culture of health. It can only blossom when there is a growing sense of truth seekers. I got to know the truth about me, about everything going on here in this soul. And I got to know the truth about God. When that pursuit dies, when I get comfortable, when I get set in a certain way, you know what the scriptures we're going to read says? We start to get a hard heart. We start to get callous layers of hardness around our heart. And that is a tough place to be. And folks, I just challenge you this morning, how concerned are you about the truth in life? How concerned are you about the truth about who we are, about who you are, about what's going on in your mind, your will, your emotions, about your life? How concerned, how much time do you spend pursuing the truth about, really the truth about who you are? Why you're here, your purpose. And tied to that, how concerned are we about the truth about God? Seeking God. When that pursuit dies, the flesh takes over. The ways of the world take over. And the result is a lot of what we have observed throughout history. Scripture defines it as this terrible place of hard-heartedness, cynicism. The fruit of the Spirit is long gone. And we're left with trying to just build ourselves up the best we can with the tools we have and with what the world has for us. The gospel answers this question, folks. And so if you'll go to the next slide here, if you miss everything else, I have one point this morning. I'm going to say a lot of things as we dive into these powerful verses. I have one thing I want you to take. It's right here. Ephesians 4:32. Michelle and I use this as the very foundation of marriage and all good things. Be kind, tender-hearted to one another, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. You want to change your home? Do that. You want to change your marriage? Transform it? Live that. You want to transform your parenting? The lives of your children? Live that. You want to stir things up and see unbelievable things in your workplace? Start living that. You want to transform the quality and depth of your friendships? Start living that. You want to change the world? Live that. You want to change the world? Live Ephesians 4:32. Till the heart is changed, nothing has really changed. You can strive in politics, intellectualism, altruism, writing checks, doing good works. You can do it all until the heart is changed. Nothing is changed. You can save some starving people all day long until their heart is changed. Nothing is really changed. You can drop bombs on people and change things geopolitically for a while until the hearts are changed. Terrorism doesn't go away. You want to change the world? Live that. You want to change the culture of the church you're a part of? Church? Let's start living that. Right. Any world changers in here? You know that God created you to be a world changer. Not to just have an impact in the culture in your home and your little sphere of your life. He created you to have a global impact. Acts 1:8 is proof of it. I could go on and on and on. But you know what happens when we try to kind of, when the flesh takes over, you know what? Our world, our perspective gets very myopic, very small. But folks, here's the truth. A healthy culture is where the gospel is being lived out in our relationships with one another. A healthy culture is when we're fleshing this gospel out. Ephesians 4:32. With each other. And this is hard stuff. It's one thing, oh, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I forgave my sins. Amen. It's another thing when I'm struck with, man, we got some tough things between this brother and I. How am I going to pursue him or her? How am I going to treat my wife when, man, it's an ugly mess? Got to apply the gospel. And Jesus requires that the truth that I believe that I'm a son of God is if I'm living it, not if I believe it alone. Anybody can say it. Anybody can come forward and say a prayer. Anybody can go to camp or have a mountaintop experience, an emotional experience, and come to God and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Anybody can check the box. That doesn't make you a Christian. Do you know that? Just saying it does not make you a follower of Jesus. Living it does. This is what has to be said across the board in the church in America today. It does not matter just what you say. What matters is, what are you doing? Amen. And are you applying the gospel to those hard family relationships, co-workers? We living it out. It's the proof of if I believe it. God, I can't do that. And here's the reality is that to forgive someone means the flip side of that is there must be confession of sin. James 5 makes it very clear. Confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. Healed. That's a promise, folks. Do you realize that? That's a promise from God. Get it out. Get it on the table before each other. And he's promised is healing, not in the context of James 5, is physical healing. Get that soul clean before God. Let his grace cover that. And you know what? The presence of God rushes in. That's a metaphor for what church community should look like. A confession that we're right before each other. If I've sinned, I come confess. Sweetie, sorry for that. Please forgive me. And then the response is, I forgive you. Boom. And only, I don't have time to dive into the depth of this, but do you realize only the gospel, only what God has done provides a framework for what forgiveness is all about. Well, we all know, in secular world, we all know the power of forgiveness, but you realize, I'm just going to give it to you, no one has a context of what forgiveness is all about, but the gospel. No one. The benchmark here is what Jesus did for us. That's the only way to truly understand what forgiveness is all about. Again, it doesn't matter. Oh, I forgive you, brother. Words don't mean jack unless behind it is a heart that understands, man, Lord, what you've done for me, this is hard. Holy Spirit, you've got to come do this. I forgive you. I lay that offense down. Man, the presence of God enters into that. in a powerful way. All right. Don't forget that verse. Memorize it. And don't forget the application. No healthy culture. A healthy marriage is impossible without living that out. Where a husband and wife both live that out, divorce has never happened. Where a husband and wife have lived that out, divorce has never happened. Healthy culture is where the gospel is lived out by faith, by trusting in God, in our relationships with one another. Ephesians 4. Paul's exhorting the church here. Verse 17. Oh, there's so much here. Now this I say, and I testify in the Lord, that you must no longer, church, walk, peripeteo, the Greek word means live, as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. And so he begins by just laying it out. That is the state we all came into this world in, alienated from God, sold into a fleshly driven life, not knowing the truth about who we really are, not knowing the truth about who God really is. Scripture defines us as lost, a lost soul. And folks, this description, as I said before, means if the pursuit of truth, if the pursuit, this is why Romans says, no one's without excuse. No one can have an excuse because of everything that's been created, this universe around us. God has revealed himself, and there should be this drive. Ah, God, I got to know the truth. And when that drive stops, that pursuit stops. Hardness of heart. Callousness. Folks, we all know what that's like. We've all tasted that, that place of just hard heart. By the way, the main result of the vast majority of disease is not just physical DNA. The vast majority of disease and health issues are related to a spiritual hard heart. Especially as we age. If I get lazy and I sell out to the American dream of retirement, I lose life. And that has a radical impact on my mind and on my body. You were created to pursue God passionately, even more boldly the older we get. Understand the precious gift of life and the responsibility we have to live it with gusto for the glory of God. And to be a light full of the fruit of the Spirit. As I get older, if I'm getting closer to Jesus, I'm going to be more of a vessel of joy. Not boring, not playing it more safe, not more holding on tight to my retirement account and to life stuff. I'll be full of the grace of God. I'm going to be more passionate about him. I'm going to have greater relational skills. I'm going to love people more. If that's not the case, what's taking over? Hardness of heart, callousness, cynicism. Oh, I still might say I'm a Christian. My heart is hard-hearted. It's going to be very clear. These things are to grow. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, all those things I mentioned, self-control, they are to increase in measure as I move towards Jesus. And he wants to bring that about. It's impossible on our own. It's only by the power of the Spirit of God. As I grow old, I should be full more of the life of God. Do we see that happening in the American church today? We'll talk more about this later. What's wrong? Those kids we saw on that screen, they are passionate for Jesus. You know what? They are moving in that direction. But I'm afraid that when those kids get rubbed shoulders with the 40-plus generation in America, they're saying, what the? That's some boring people. Where's the passion in that? Folks, it's a wake-up call. Right? Paul says, that is not how you learn Jesus. So I asked you this morning, how did you learn Jesus? Here's another great problem in the church today. We have not walked people by the hand and showed them how to live the truth of Jesus. We haven't shown people how to do what Paul's going to say right here. This is not how you learn Jesus. Verse 21, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him. I ask you this morning, have you been taught in Jesus? I'm not talking about just information about God. I'm talking about just a Bible study. Have you been taught these things? Assuming that you've heard about him, you're taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. Here it is. Have you been taught how to put off the old self, the old way of life? Has somebody taught you how to take it off? Has someone showed you how and walked with you and showed you how to get free from the things that have bound you up? Has someone showed you how to get free from generational sin in your life that was stamped on you? Has someone showed you how to get free from soul ties that hold you back and kill your ability to move forward in intimacy? Has somebody walked you forward and showed you how to embrace the fruit of the Spirit, right? And how to get a vision for what God has for you? Has he shown you how to release those burdens of the past? Has someone walked with you, showed you how to genuinely be free of your sin, shame, guilt, and condemnation? If you're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Has someone showed you, walked with you? Showed you how to do that, how to live that kind of life, that kind of incredible free life? That's the responsibility of the church community, a healthy community. Man, look at the second thing. Not only to learn Jesus, but to learn Jesus is to learn how to put that old self off, to get free, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And has someone showed us how to be renewed in the spirit of our minds? Has someone showed you how to deal with the battle in your mind? Has someone showed you how to take captive every thought that comes into your mind and bring it into obedience to how God sees you? Has someone showed you how to do that? Every bit of depression, every bit of emotional trauma, folks, is a lack among believers, is a lack of applying the gospel, learning how to apply the truth of God to my brain, to my thinking. It's a renewal. And this is a daily thing. I got to learn how to bring the truth of God, how he sees me, what he has for me, onto my brain, rather than letting myself just beat the crap out of me. Rather than letting somebody else's curse or words over me determine who I am. Has someone showed you how to do that? Have you learned Jesus that way? What it is to renew your mind by the power of the Spirit of God. A fresh mind. Has someone showed you how to rid yourself of those dark dreams? Has someone showed you how to rid your thinking of depressive thoughts? Have you learned Christ that way? This is what Paul's saying to the church. Man, what God has for us is a level of freedom and liberty and joy and peace in life. Folks, we haven't even imagined it yet. And it says we can't even imagine it. It's available if we'll just take it by faith. But we're responsible for walking with each other to get to that point. Third thing, to learn Jesus, it says, here in the text, not only just to renew our minds, but verse 24, and to put on, to clothe yourself with the new self, the new life that Jesus has for you. Has someone showed you how to do that? To put on that robe of righteousness that Jesus paid for you? Your security, when you stand before God, he doesn't see your mess. He sees the righteousness of Christ. It's not your good works. It's what Jesus did for you. You receive it by faith. Someone showed you how to live like that, to put that on, to put on the armor of God, Ephesians 6. Someone showed you how to do that every day. Armor up, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. Someone showed you how to do that. Have you learned Christ that way? Or are you flirting here still in the first part of this? Wrestling with cynicism, skepticism, hardness of heart, not in touch with your emotions, not having healthy relationships, deep relationships, heartfelt, integrated relationships. The question is, how do we do that? And folks, this is what discipleship's all about. It's how we're to love each other. It's how to equip each other. It's how to use our gifts to step into people's lives so we might learn Christ, learn what he paid for us to have and possess. And so here we go. This is the how. This is a healthy, we're getting ready to talk about what a healthy culture looks like, a church culture that God expects, a church culture where the Spirit of God and the powerful presence of God is present to do supernatural things, to heal and to radically transform our very being of who we are. And he goes on, he says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Speaking to the church body, the community. To speak truth to each other. Now, if I'm not sure about who I am before God, if I'm not sure about who God is, the truth of Jesus, what do I have to really give you? I can't pull out of you. I can't help you learn Jesus until I set aside that falsehood. So I'll set aside those lies. And we do this together. And look at this. He's getting very practical now. What does this look like in the midst of this community? Be angry. Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity to the devil. Anger is the result of the lack of applying the gospel in our lives. Anger is the result, it's the leftover of a wounded life where there hasn't been healing. Anger opens our soul, as it says, to the enemy. And the enemy, you know what he wants to do? He wants to cause division. He comes, John 10:10, to kill, steal, and destroy. And he wants to come into any family. His role from the beginning is to split the family. And he wants to split and bring division and confusion inside the church family. And how does he do that? His primary avenue is he just needs an opening. He just needs someone who festers anger. He just needs someone who has a hard heart, a callous heart, and who is going to be cynical and bitter. And he just needs that little opening. He needs it in husbands. He needs it in wives to just bring a source of bitterness into that home, into that marriage. And then the tongue goes wild. And the destruction like fire takes over inside the home and inside the church. Do not let the sun go down. Deal with your anger, people. Deal with our anger. Because if we let it fester, it's a destruction. The enemy will come in and he'll take hold. And I, for one, can look back and see, man, I give the opportunity to the devil to come and to use my anger in destructive ways. Don't let the sun go down. Healthy culture is, I got to be sensitive, right, to those things in my life that not only rip me apart, but rip apart my home and the church home. Verse 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work. Hone in, honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with one another in need. Folks, the Greek here is not primarily about a thief like we think of that's, you know, going around planning and stealing this. The primary context here is someone who is entitled and pilfering off the work of others. You get it? A healthy culture cannot exist where there are people who are allowed, enabled to continue to pilfer off others good things without doing honest work and having something to contribute. You see, we have got this wrong in our culture today to think that the gospel somehow mercy is helping people never, never anywhere. 1 Thessalonians says, if you don't work, you don't eat. But we think we're supposed to help everybody who has a need. You won't find that nowhere in the scripture. That's thievery, to have a mentality, and it is destructive to leave anybody in a position that continues to enable them in a pilfering, relying on others attitude rather than rising up, getting some self-confidence, and helping them to work with their hands and be productive so that they might have something to contribute. I'm not going to get into politics because we got to get this right in the church first. But parents, let me just give you, this is loud and clear, right? We do our children no good if we continue to allow them and enable them and just to live a certain way without teaching them what it is to have honest work. You need to do something to contribute something, even from a young age. We do no good to have social work, to have handouts, benevolence to people who have no desire to rise up and get healthy. Nowhere do we see in Scripture the word to give to poor people who, or anyone who doesn't have a desire to improve their lives. And surely a healthy culture cannot enable that within itself. Or to work. So it says that we have something to share with those in need. Because everybody has a need at some point. But to meet that need is not just to meet that need and leave them in that place. To meet a need is to hopefully meet a need so that they can grow to be healthy, to get on their feet. Make sense? It's a healthy culture. Here we go. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. This is healthy culture. What about your marriage? What about your home? What about the workplace? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for the building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Wow! That is the gospel being lived out in marriage, in home, in the church, is to watch our tongue. God, let the gospel take over this tongue. Jesus, if you've forgiven me, if your Holy Spirit's coming to me, my tongue is like a fire. Lord, please redeem my tongue. And let me be aware of what I say. And Lord, let me obey this. Let me apply the gospel, right? When I speak to others, let me just zip it up. Unless I have something good to say. And Lord, we don't just stop with that. It's like, Lord, give me some words. Give me some words, appropriate words to build up somebody. And folks, where that really works is someone that you just don't like. Lord, give me something to build that person up. That's the gospel at work. That's the gospel at work. Because you know what? I don't have the ability to do that in my own flesh. Right? Now, folks, where this even gets... Well, I'll read on. But, folks, as I was praying about this, I really had a sense that God wanted to really set someone free from a toxic tongue. If our tongue is not subjected to the truth of God, it will be toxic. It will be a toxic weapon of destruction. And I just ask you, if you're here this morning, man, just come to the ministry team. Just ask for prayer. Call upon God to come and do supernaturally what only He can do. What only He can do. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Folks, when my tongue gets fleshly with gossip, with slander, with talking about people rather than going to those people. It grieves the Spirit of God. When that happens inside the church, when the Spirit of God is grieved, what happens? The flesh takes over and the power of God removes. The presence of God removes. The presence of God is longing to step into a soul, a whole church community when the gospel is applied. Man, do you realize what our tongues, what our behavior, if we're not applying the gospel in our relationships to each other, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God, meaning the Spirit of God cannot be unleashed to do supernaturally what God wants to do in our lives. Get that? The power of that? One of the primary ways that God brings blessing is through the tongue. Through encouraging, prophetic, glorious words from other people to us. That's the Spirit of God moving. Words of grace, appropriate, powerful at the right time. A blessing over someone. And God takes that and he brings and does even greater things. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you along with all malice. Take it off. That's the old man. God, help me, Holy Spirit. Help me get rid of that gossip. Folks, just a little personal application. Watch ourselves. How do you talk about others when they're not present? Only talk good. Never should, I'm just giving some Crossroads family rules here. Never talk bad about another church. Bless that church. No matter what you know or what you've heard, you bless that other church. Never talk bad about another spiritual leader. Bless them. Right? If you have a problem with anybody in the church leadership, you need to come straight to them. Door's always wide open. And be honest with them. Talk with them. If you have a grievance with somebody, if you have a problem with somebody, you go straight to them, as the scripture says, and ask God to give you the words, the reconciling words, the healing words. If things still are a problem, that's why we have the church. We bring others into that discussion to expect the Spirit of God to do something powerful in the midst of all that. Let the Spirit of God take over our tongue. And the power of God will do unbelievable things. Verse 32, be kind to one another. He sums it up, tenderhearted. Tenderhearted to one another. Forgiving each other. As God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus. Verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God. Whoa. Imitate God. Imitate Jesus. You were created in his image to be like him. That's what he wants to do in you. That's why Jesus came. That's the Holy Spirit's role inside your soul, is to make you like Jesus. Everything around us just keeps beating us up that we can't do that. Oh, I'm just human. Let me be very clear. If the Spirit of God resides in your soul, you're not just human. Let me say that again. If the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, is inside your soul, you're not just human. Your resources are eternal, all-powerful. The very power that raised Jesus from the grave is for you to take hold of the promises of God and see supernatural things happen. Folks, gospel is a requirement for a healthy culture. A healthy culture is when God's people apply the gospel in our relationships with each other. Lord, may that be so for us here, God. Lord, forgive us for any callousness. Forgive us for any, Lord, any doubt that you want to do this, that you can do this. God, your word is very clear. No matter how big the mountain is, no matter how tough the abuse is, how tough the harshness of the issue is, God, your grace is more powerful. You've provided your spirit to conquer all things, God, if your people by faith will just take hold of it. Holy Spirit, I invite you now to come and do serious business in our hearts, God. Convict us where we need to confess. Lord, convict us where we need to forgive and get rid of any bitterness. Get free. Holy Spirit, I pray you come. Lord, shower your love, Lord, on us, God. Lord, I pray you'll break through, crack through that callous, those walls and years of self-protection. Crack through, God, that hard heart, Lord. Lord, crack through, Lord. Lord, that anger, Lord, that disappointment with you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Set your people free, Lord. God, I have a vision of a tongue, Lord, that has been a toxic fire, God. Just, Lord, having your peace, your shalom come over that language, God. And a new voice, words of grace and power coming through to transform every relationship around that person's life, God. Lord, for your glory, Lord, your glorious name. We love you, Lord. Minister to us now, God. Just enjoy his presence. Open your heart to hear what he has to say to you, no matter how hard it is. Receive him, his goodness for you. As the Lord leads, just take your time. Come to the table, rejoice, remembering what Christ has done for you. But maybe for some of us here this morning, we need to take some notes. Maybe we need to, God has put on our hearts some people we need to talk to. Might be people even in here. Scripture is very clear. Before we come to the table, we're to get right with our brothers and sisters. And I just say, take it serious. If you need to have a hard conversation with somebody, withhold coming to the table until you've made that right. That's applying the gospel. And the table is that representation of living out the gospel. We're never to partake in just, it's not a ritual. That is a living example of God's people who are right with each other and right with God, who've been doing their best to live out the gospel in their relationships and are free to come to the table and rejoice. God, it's because of you I'm able to do this. Enjoy him. Rest it.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.